I welcome all of you once again for Bhakti Sangha conference call. Thank you everyone for joining today. So today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Amoghalila Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from 5.13. Shloka 5 onwards. So before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Bhagavi Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Amoghalila Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and is presently serving as the Vice President of the Dwarkadish Temple in Dwarka. He was a boy with outstanding talents right from childhood. As a child, he was very quiet, but internally his spiritual desire to thank God went on increasing. Finally, after 12th standard, he left home in search of his spiritual answers. He met many religious organizations, but it was only ISKCON that could quench his spiritual thirst. He stayed in ISKCON Delhi for 3 months and later went back with his parents' insistence to complete his engineering studies. He also worked for HCL Company for 6 years, and it was finally in 2010 that he became a full-time brahmachari. He and his team during these testing times of COVID-19 are doing a commendable job serving nutritious prasadam under the Food for Life program to the much needed 2 lakh people in New Delhi. Prabhuji has mastered the art of combining the heavy philosophy with just the right proportion of anecdotes, one-liners, and humor to leave the audience spellbound and to inspire them to embrace this path of bhakti. He has helped thousands of kids get free from the clutches of addiction and depression. He is a life coach of many, and he lectures on stress-related problems. The art of parenting are also very instructive. His lectures in both English and Hindi have their own flavor and thus are able to target a larger audience. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept all of our humble offerings. All glories to Srimad. Thank you for giving your valuable time and association. We are really eager to hear from you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Can please take over. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I'll sing Jai Radha Madhav and then we'll proceed. Jai Radha Madhav, Jai Kunj Bihari. Jai Radha Madhav, Jai Kunj Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jai Giri Vardhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jai Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jai Kunj Bihari. Yamuna Tiravanachari, Jai Kunj Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Kunj Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Kunj Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki Jaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So today we are going to study Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Chapter and titles, Further Talks. Yes. So further talks between King Rahuguna and Jada Bharat, and verse number 5. Yeah. Okay. So this verse is like this. Adrishya Jhalli Swanakarna Shula Uluka Vagni Virbhim Bhitantaratma Apunya Vikshan Shrayate Kshudardhito Marichitayo Yany Anya Bhidhavati Pachit Adrishya Jhalli Swanakarna Shula Uluka Vagbhi Vyartha Vyarthadidat Antaratma Apunya Vikshan Shrayate Kshudardhito Marichito Yanya Bhidhavati Pachit Adrishya Jhalli Swanakarna Shula Uluka Vagbhi Vyarthanantaratma Apunya Vrikshan Shrayate Kshudardhito Marichito Yanya Bhidavati Kvachit. So now, word meaning, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Chan. So word meaning, synonyms like this. Adrishya, invisible. Jhilli, of crickets or kind of bee. Swana, by the sounds. Karna Shula, whose ears are disturbed. Uluka, of the owls. Vagbhi, by sound vibrations. Avyathita, very disturbed. Antaha Atma, whose mind and heart. Apunya Vrikshan, impious trees that have no fruits or flowers. Shrayate, he takes shelter of. Kshudha, of hunger. Ardhita, suffering. Marichitoyani, the waters of a mirage in the desert. Abhidhavati, he runs after. Kvachit, sometimes. Translation. Wandering in the forest of material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket sound, harsh sounds. Cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sounds of owls, which are just like the harsh words of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage, and he runs after it. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Bhagavat philosophy is meant for people who are completely free from envy. Paramo nirmatsaranam. The material world is full of envious people. Even within one's inner circle, there is much backbiting. And this is compared to the sound vibration of a cricket in the forest. One cannot see the cricket, but one hears its sound and thus become aggrieved. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always hears unpalatable words from relatives. This is the nature of the world. One cannot avoid mental distress due to the backbiting of the envious people. Being very much aggrieved, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. Thus, the living entity is disappointed. This is like or running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. Such activities do not produce any tangible results due to being directed by illusory energy. A conditioned soul suffers in so many ways. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagalalita Shri Vishakhan Vitascha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanti Radha Kanti Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatra Padavam Mande Shri Guru Tiyatarine Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Hare Krishna. So we'll read the translation once again. So translation goes like this. Wandering in the forest of material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh. Wandering in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sounds of owls, which are just like the harsh words of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by mirage and he runs after it. So, very beautiful analogical way of explaining the conditioned soul's position and situation in the material world. Analogies are especially very helpful when we are trying to understand something very difficult to comprehend. So in such a case, we see that analogies, examples, these graphical pictorial descriptions, they're very helpful in understanding. And we see that this way of teaching is used by Srila Prabhupada, and not just Srila Prabhupada, even Lord Krishna uses that in Srimad Bhagavad-gita also to such an extent, to great extent actually. Like a knowledge is used compared to a boat by which we can cross the ocean of nescience, and the knowledge has been compared to the weapon so that we can cut the ignorance. It is compared to fire so that the karmic reactions can be burnt. A devotee who is liberated, who is Jivan Mukta, is in the mud, but not of the mud, but above the mud. Just like a lotus. Lotus is in the mud, but not of the mud, but above the mud. So similarly, a devotee is not in the mud of material world. He is in the material world, but above the material world. Analogy, examples. So here we see that this 13th and 14th chapter, next chapter would be the forest of material enjoyment in the 5th canto, would also describe very graphically what is our position in the material world. Yeah. So here, particularly, we see that there are two kinds of people which are very disturbing to the living entity. Yeah. First are those which are visible. Second are those which are invisible. Those which are invisible, they are compared to the crickets. Like when the crickets, they make the sound. So I can't make the sound of the cricket. But yes, they make sound in the nighttime. But we can't see them. But yes, this sound is as annoying. Yeah. And owls, they are visible and their sound is also annoying. So one are invisible enemies, there are visible enemies. And Srila Prabhupada here gives the example of the visible enemies. They are the relatives. They sometimes they speak such harsh words. Sometimes I know some of the Matajis, their husbands, they insult Mataji to great extent, that her heart is pierced with those arrows of harsh words. Like Lord Krishna says in the 11th canto, he says that not even an arrow give that much pain as the harsh words of uncivilized men in this world. Yeah, harsh words, they remain pierced in the heart, and not just for a day or two. Sometimes they remain in the heart for years and years, sometimes entire life. They have so much pain. Yeah. So there are people who are envious of us, but they are visible and they are invisible. So those who are invisible, they are compared to the cricket, and those who are visible, they are compared to the owl. But both of them are envious, and their words, their gestures, all of them are very unpalatable. So Srila Prabhupada here addresses the envious people. Yeah. And the way they deal with us is so paining to the heart. For envy, Srila Prabhupada used to say that actually the root cause of all the envy is that we are envious of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada used to say that. Yeah. And there's one nice story. A graphical example to see what's the position of enviousness. Ultimately, the root cause of all the envy is that we are envious of Krishna. Now, somebody may say, well, I do not know about Krishna. How can you say that I'm envious of Krishna? There are many people in this world that do not know about Krishna. One of the way to see to it is that because all the living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, so I am being envious of the part and parcel of Krishna, I'm envious of Krishna. Say, for example, somebody is envious of somebody's hand, but hand belongs to the person. Yeah. So in a way, I'm envious of the person because I'm envious of the part and parcel of the body of the person. So similarly, we are envious of Krishna. And even if we say that, well, I have not seen Krishna, if Krishna would be present before us, we would be envious of him. Since we do not know much about him, so we may feel envious of him when he's present before us, actually. And there is an example, like there was one poor guy, he wanted to impress a girl. And he could say that, oh, she's so beautiful, she's so gorgeous, I have to impress her. What to do? Now, since he's a poor guy, he cannot impress the girl. So he goes to some of his friends, some of the influential people, and he requests them, please give me something. I want to impress that girl. I want to propose that to that girl. Please, please give me something. And then he acquires some opulences, some wealth and all, so that he can impress the girl. And as he's having all of this wealth and power and his influence and this aristocracy, and is about to go and propose the girl, there comes a very handsome, rich guy. He comes and he proposes the girl, and this girl proposes to him. And then we are fried out. My God, I did so much. I wanted to enjoy that girl, but this handsome guy has taken away that girl. God. And then I feel envious of that handsome, good-looking, rich guy. Oh. So this analogy is given just to make us understand our position in the material world. So that girl, she symbolizes all that which we want to enjoy in the material world. Okay, if I want to enjoy, I need to have some pious merits. Okay, from where do I get pious merits? So some of the influential, powerful people are the demigods. By doing some punyas, by doing some pious activities, we acquire punya and then we try to enjoy the material nature. But then comes a handsome, good-looking guy who is already very, 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 very rich. And then he takes away the girl. That's Krishna. So we may try to acquire things in this world for us so that we can enjoy. But then Krishna takes away everything. And then we are repenting. We are feeling sad. We feel frustrated. Then how come this Krishna has taken everything? So Krishna, in the form of death, takes away everything, actually. So even though we may try our level best to enjoy. So this is how we see that envy works. Yeah. We see that God being an enjoyer. As you see in other religions, God is mentioned as great. God is the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, but not supreme enjoyer. Because as soon as this quality of enjoyment comes, there comes envy. How come he enjoy? Why can't I enjoy? How come he enjoy? I should also enjoy. This is envy. This is envy. And that's why we see that other than Sanatana Dharma, whether it is Islam or Christianity or, Buddhism is an atheistic philosophy. So, but here we see that God is mentioned as a great controller or the great master or creator, but not the enjoyer. As soon as God takes a position of enjoy, there comes enviousness. How come he enjoy? I should enjoy. I should enjoy. Yeah. But yes, God is the supreme enjoyer. Yeah. Once His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj, he was giving lecture, and then somebody just got up in the class. He said, "Now I want to ask you something." He said, "Yes." Maharaj said, "Yes, please ask." He said, "How can Krishna dance with all of these gopis? How?" And then Maharaj said, "Well, he's dancing with his own gopis. Is he dancing with your mother? Is he dancing with your sisters? He's dancing with his own gopis. And when gopis are not having any problem, why you have any problem?" And he didn't think from this perspective. He said, actually, you do not have the problem that Krishna is having gopis. You are having a problem that you are not having even one with you. That's your enviousness towards Krishna. Because you're not having even one. That's why. And Krishna is having 10,000 billion gopis. Wow. And Krishna is dancing with all of them. And you do not have even 10. What to speak of 10,000 billion? That's the cause of envy. So God being an enjoyer is the root cause of all the envy. And that's what we see in this world, that people also become uncomfortable when we see somebody enjoying. Yes. And there are many stories of enviousness. Like Daksha was envious of Lord Shiva. And he would criticize Lord Shiva. And he would say, not that I am envious of him. Do not think like that. So even those who are envious, they justify their enviousness by saying, not that I am envious. I'm just mentioning some facts. I'm just sharing my concern, you know. Prashad is enviousness. Yeah. Not that I am envious. Oh, Prashad is enviousness. And the result was that his head was chopped off just because of his envy. Envy can be so devastating. Oh, my God. Yeah. In fact, Shastras, they mentioned that those who are envious in next life, either they become snake or they become a scorpion. That's the consequence of being envious. It's the darkest emotion, actually. We know that there are six kinds of anarthas: lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. Out of the six, the darkest emotion is enviousness. We can employ other things in service to Krishna. Like, for example, lust can be employed in service to Krishna by producing children for upbringing them in Krishna consciousness. Anger can be used in the service of Krishna by being angry on those who are insulting or offensive towards Krishna or his devotees. Greed can be used to become greedy to hear about Krishna, greedy to chant Hare Krishna. Greed can also be used. Being illusioned. Illusion can be used by completely getting hypnotized by Krishna's Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela. That can also be used. Each and every anartha can be used in the service of the Lord. Only one anartha cannot be used in the service of the Lord. That has to be destroyed. That has to be killed. And that's enviousness. Somebody may say, well, we can use this enviousness in being envious of the people who are materialistic. No, we can't even be envious of them. They have such a pathetic condition in the material world. How can we feel envious of them? So that's why out of all the six anarthas, the darkest emotion is enviousness. Kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad. And then matsari is enviousness. And they are like concentric circle. In the center, the circle is lust, then anger, then greed, then pride, then illusion. And then at the last, there is enviousness, matsarya. So each of the previous circle has a quality of the inner circle as well. That means anger has a quality of lust also. When lust is frustrated, that leads to anger. Greed has got lust as well as anger. So in this way, all of these concentric circles, they have the qualities of those anarthas also, which is inside. And the outermost circle is envy. It has a quality of all of them. That means there is lust also, there is anger also, there is greed also, there is pride also, there is illusion also. All the five qualities are present in envy. Ooh. So that's why it is the darkest emotion. When we start seeing somebody growing, we do not feel happy. So we know that Krishna has got six qualities. Yeah. Six qualities are, as all of us know, that Krishna is very beautiful. Yeah. Krishna is very beautiful. Krishna has all strength. Krishna has all knowledge. Krishna has all wealth. Krishna has all fame. And Krishna has all renunciation. Yeah. And we see that these six qualities, these six opulences, they are also there in the material world. There are people who are beautiful. There are people who are very powerful. There are people who are very knowledgeable. There are people who are very wealthy. There are people who are very famous. There are people who are very renounced. Yeah, they are there. But those who are beautiful may not be very powerful. And those who are very powerful may not be very knowledgeable. And those who are very knowledgeable may not be very wealthy. And those who are very wealthy may not be very famous. And those who are very famous may not be renounced. Yeah. So we have some of these opulences. But in the absence of Krishna, these six opulences become the cause of envy in the material world. If somebody is more beautiful than me, someone is more handsome than me, envy. Somebody is more powerful than me, envy. Somebody is more knowledgeable than me, envy. Somebody is more wealthy than me, envy. Somebody is more famous than me, Envy. Renunciation. Somebody's more renounced than me. Envy. This happens even in devotee circles. When somebody's having nirjala fast and I'm just doing safala fast, I'm just taking fruits and such a person is having nirjala fast. What is this? Somebody's more renounced. That becomes a cause of envy. So we see that all the six opulences in Krishna, when they are without Krishna, then the six opulences, they become the cause of envy in the material world. Yeah. Six opulences, when they are with Krishna, they increase our appreciation. There's more glorification. There is festivity. There is love. So these six opulences with Krishna, they bring auspiciousness. And these six qualities, in the absence of Krishna in the material world, they cause enviousness. Ooh, my God. And there are many such examples where people were envious. Like Prabhupada Lilamrita, it mentions that Srila Prabhupada, when he was quite young, he was wearing a nice t-shirt. And there was a person who was envious of Srila Prabhupada. He would say, oh, this Abhay is having such a nice shirt. And he, seeing his annoying nature, as he was saying something ill about him, and then Abhay, at that time, he just took off his shirt and threw it on the ground. This is what you want, you envious snake. So there are people who are envious. Yeah. At the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Prabhupada, when there was Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, and more than around 10,000 people they participated. 10,000. Currently, when we do Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, we have 10,000. That happened one or two times or in an entire career on the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. But during the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, there were 10,000 people in Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. And those brahmanas, those priests who were envious of him, they started throwing stones. They started throwing cow dung cakes onto an entire party of the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada followers. Why? Because they were envious. Because all those who were being respectful to them now becoming disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. Wow. And that's why they became envious. And they became violent. Of course, there was no casualty, but yes, the devotees, they received wounds. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he was very quiet. He knew that even though they may behave like this, but we would not behave like them. So the result was that Krishna made such an arrangement that next day all the newspapers and periodicals, they covered this particular event, that how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, along with his thousands of followers and disciples, as he was doing Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, all the envious people, the brahmanas, they were pelting stones and then throwing cow dung cakes. And this way, that thing which was quite hurting to the devotees physically, that turned out to be increasing the fame of the devotees more and more. Yeah, but there were people who are envious. Yeah, as he was growing, because as his fame was increasing. In fact, these brahmanas, they became so envious of him that they decided to kill him. And at that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he was having hernia. And as he was having hernia, he was about to get operated. But he could not go to hospital. Why? Because disciples told him that Gurudev, they have conspired to kill you. If you go to hospital, they will kill you on the name of illness, that you are ill and that's why you died. The doctor who would operate on your hernia is already given a bribe to kill you. And when you would be killed, they have already given 25,000 rupees to the police. So the police doesn't take any action. And at that time, 25,000 rupees means crores of rupees in present day. Crores of rupees. That much amount of money was being spent by these envious people for killing Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. My God. And that's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he could not go to hospital to cure his hernia. He had to tolerate that. Because in hospital, he would be killed. Actually, 25,000 rupees. So the police wala, he came. He came to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj and he said, Maharaji, let me tell you that these people are conspiring against you. They want to kill you. And they have also given me a bribe of 25,000 rupees. I have taken the bribe. Being greedy person, I have taken the bribe. But yet at the same time, I've got affection for you. I've got respect for you. I'm telling you, please be careful. These caste Brahmins, these so-called Brahmins, they are envious of you. They want to kill you. And because then in case they attack you, they kill you, I would not be able to take any action because I have taken bribe. I've taken bribe of 25,000 rupees. Envious people. Envy. My goodness. We see that even there are people who are envious of ISKCON as well. Because in such a beautiful way, in an all-encompassing way, ISKCON is spreading the glories of the holy name all across the globe. And that's why there are people who make various kind of allegations even against ISKCON also. So at the time of Srila Prabhupada also, people used to say, you know, these Hare Krishnas, they're brainwashing. When somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, they say that we are brainwashing them. Srila Prabhupada said, well, we cannot brainwash people. Reason being, people do not have brain. In order to do brainwash, firstly, people should have brain. People do not have brain. Their brain substance does not exist nowadays. Yeah. And secondly, when at another time, Srila Prabhupada said, well, we are washing the brain. They should appreciate our efforts to the society. We are washing their brain. All that brain which is filled with all the filth of materialistic life. So we are cleaning it. We are washing it. So they should actually appreciate our effort. Yeah. So people would criticize. Like there was one lady, she raised a case against ISKCON. She said, well, these people are worshipping a god who has got 16,000 wives. What is this? They're worshipping a person who is having 16,000. What kind of morality is this? So the devotees, of course, it seems like it is. Some devotees say that it did not happen. It was kind of imaginary story. But it's a good story. And then the devotee said, okay, all right. So you are a nun. She said, yes, I'm a nun. Okay, when you became nun, so what do you take as an oath, as a vow? What do you say? And then she said, well, we all take a vow that we will not accept any mortal being of this world as our husband. We have only one husband, and that's Jesus Christ. Okay, very good. So how many nuns are there all across the world? And she said, well, we are around 6 million. Okay, 6 million. That means Jesus Christ has got 6 million wives. Because all of you take a vow that there's no mortal being of this world now belongs to us as a husband. Only Jesus Christ. That means Jesus Christ has got 6 million wives. So here is Krishna who is having 16,000 wives. Just 16,000 wives. And here is Jesus Christ who is having 6 million wives. So if you say that worshipping Krishna is wrong, then what about Jesus Christ? The whole case got closed there and then. That's it. So there are people like that. In fact, once somebody raises that, actually Hare Krishna is a cult. It's a cult from India. And the whole thing was brought to the court. And then devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, now there is a court case. What should we do? Srila Prabhupada said, take Srimad Bhagavatam and convert entire court case into Srimad Bhagavatam class. Every day take one verse. So first day, the devotee said, okay, the first evidence that we are not the cult is the first canto, first chapter, first verse. And then they explained it. Second day, they said, well, first canto, first chapter, second verse. And then third day, first canto, first chapter, third verse. And then the judge, he said, well, how many such evidences do you have? And the devotee said, we have got 18,000 such evidences. 18,000? And every day you are taking just one evidence, right? Yeah, we are taking one evidence every day. In this way, you have got 18,000 evidences. Okay, all right, let's take a lunch break. So a lunch break was there, and then this judge called another person from judiciary. Said, well, here are these Hare Krishna people, and then somebody has raised a question that against them that they are like they are a cult from India. Is it like that? Is it a bona fide religion? Is it a cult? So that person, he knew the Hare Krishna. He said, no, it's a bona fide religion. It is Sanatana Dharma. It's an eternal religion. It is a religion of all the souls. Later on, some people they turned out to be Christians or Muslims or Buddhist or Sikh or whatever. But originally, everyone is Sanatana Dharma, and they are those. They are the practitioners of that original dharma of bhakti, of devotion. It's not a cult. It is the function of the soul. It's a bona fide religion. I said, okay, all right. So in this way, there were questions being raised against ISKCON as well. But Srila Prabhupada used to say, well, dogs would keep barking, but karma would go on. Dogs would keep barking, but the karma would go on and on and on and on. So dogs would keep barking. Actually, enviousness is indirect way of appreciation. Enviousness. Because we become envious of a person who is something. somebody has to be something, then we can be envious towards the person. Otherwise, why? Who feels envious of the person who is downtrodden, who is insignificant, who is nothing actually? Why to feel envious of such a person? But the one who is something, the one who has substance, the one who has life, from that person we may feel envious, but not otherwise. So that way, enviousness is a way of appreciation. And actually, you are so good. You're so good that I feel envious of you, actually. You're so good. So enviousness is indirect way of appreciation. Now, there's also one more word which is associated with enviousness, which is jealousy. And often we use them synonymously. That enviousness means jealousy. Jealousy means enviousness. But there is a difference between the two. There is a difference. Just to understand what's the difference between enviousness and jealousy. I say, for example, Raj Prabhu is having 5 glasses. Say he's having 5 glasses of mango shake. I have 2 glasses of mango shake. And I say, well, I've got 2 glasses of mango shake. He has got 5 glasses of mango shake. This is not good. This is injustice. This is jealousy. In case I have got 5 glasses of mango shake, Raj Prabhu has got 2 glasses of mango shake. And I say, well, why has he got even 2? That's known as envy. So which of the two is darkest? Enviousness. Enviousness is even darker than jealousy. In jealousy, we go for equality. But in envy, we say, what equality, man? This person should get nothing. Like Duryodhan was envious of the Pandavas. When he was asked that, okay, you do not give Indraprastha. You keep Hastinapur, you keep Indraprastha. At least give 5 villages. 5 villages. Said, why even 5 villages? I would not give even a piece of land equal to a needle's head. This is enviousness. This is not jealousy. This is even darker than jealousy. This is enviousness. So these two are there, enviousness and jealousy. But ultimately, we are to become free of both of them. Yeah. Like we see Dattatraya ji, he appeared to Atri Rishi and Anusuya. Three. Three means 3 modes of material nature. Satagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. Three means the one who is transcendental to the three. The three. Sato, Rajo, Tamo. Plus Anusuya. Suya means enviousness. Ana means not, without. So without enviousness. So once somebody has transcended the 3 modes and is free from enviousness, Anusuya, not Suya, Anusuya, then Dattatraya, the Lord would appear in such a person's heart. So we are to become free from enviousness. And the way to become free from enviousness is appreciation. And there was one devotee, he approached Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, what to do? When I see devotees growing, I feel envious of them. If somebody is very nicely practicing, happily practicing Krishna consciousness, I feel envious. That how come this person's path is so smooth? How come this person is so happy? Envy. Envy means envy. Envy. No vacancy. Envy. Happiness will not have any vacancy in your heart. The reason being there is enviousness. Bhakti will not be having vacancy, will not have a place in the heart because there is envy, no vacancy, envy. Although it is envy, but it can also be written as en and we, no vacancy. Yeah. So we are to become free from this enviousness. And then the second part of the verse mentions that when we get afflicted by such people, then we take resort of such means which are not really reliable, dependable. And that's like mirage. So people take shelter of such things which are not really making us free from this bitter experience of people who are envious of us. So what happens then when somebody is envious or becomes counter-envious? Now, usually in this world, we see that people will take shelter of motivational speakers. I'm so much distressed with people all around me, filled with negativity. Let me go and take shelter of the motivational speakers. Well, motivational speakers themselves are having enviousness. I know one motivational speaker. A long time back, he came to our temple. And we sat for lunch. And he was taking the names of other motivational speakers. You know, that motivational speaker. He doesn't know how to speak. Have you seen his examples? Pathetic examples. Pathetic examples. You know, he has got such a weird kind of chin. And a weird kind of dressing sense. Are you a motivational speaker? Crazy. Enviousness. Even motivational speakers are also envious of each other. How can they make us free from envy? No, absolutely not. There are people who take shelter of exorcists. Let me go and do some black magic against somebody so that, because I'm envious of the other person. But those who do exorcism against somebody, it is mentioned in the Puranas that such a person rots in hell for 1 lakh years. Different kind of hells by doing black magic. So exorcism is also a way people express their envy. Yeah, like people go to psychiatrist also. In case if I am too much annoyed with people who are envious of me, and then I go to psychiatrist. But even psychiatrist also goes to another psychiatrist. You know, people come and explain their stories, weird stories. Hearing them, even psychiatrists become mad. And then the psychiatrist goes to another psychiatrist. My goodness. Like in India nowadays, one of the most flourishing careers is becoming a psychiatrist. Because most of the people nowadays in India are crazy. So although we say Srila Prabhupada, about Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshtarine. He delivered the Western world from the philosophy of impersonalism and voidism. But actually now I think we need to upgrade his pranam mantra. It should be not just Paschatya Deshtarine, it should be Samasta Deshtarine. He has delivered entire world, not just Paschatya Desh. Because even India is in such a pathetic condition that there is no difference between West or East or North or South. It is all same. It's all same now. But Srila Prabhupada is delivering all of them. Yeah. So that's why even psychiatrists, they are becoming so successful. Yeah. In European countries or in USA also, every fourth person goes to a psychiatrist. In India also, similar condition. In fact, by 2025, it is mentioned that by 2025, maximum number of mental illness cases and suicide cases would be in India. We would have the gold medal. Yes. We would be on the top of the world by having maximum number of mental stress, anxiety cases, suicide cases among youngsters, among teenagers in India. India rocks. Yeah. So that's what's happening. So all these are false shelters. Psychiatrists, exorcists, motivational speakers, some of the relatives. Yeah. So they do not have any tangible solution. Their solutions are all fake. And Srila Prabhupada used to tell a story of one brother who was, one person who was afflicted with jaundice. Now he had a sister. Now, as all of you know that during jaundice, the liver becomes so weak that we cannot take any fried item. So he asked them, "Mom, I'm so desperate to take some French fries. Can you please make some French fries?" Mom said, "Shut up. You are having jaundice and you want to have French fries? You fool." But he was so desperate that, "Well, I wish I could have some French fries." So as mother went to the market, so he told the sister, "Sister, you love me or not? Tell me, you love me or not?" She says, "Yeah, brother, I love you. Yeah, please tell me. Please make French fries for me. Please. Mother is not there. Please, please." She said, "No, mother would become angry. Please. That means you do not love me. You do not love me." Said, No. I really love you, brother. If you love me, then make French fries for me. I'm so desperate to have French fries." Then, okay. "I'll try to please you by giving you French fries." And then she made the French fries. And the jaundice of the brother became even worse. So such solutions of this world, such shelters of this world, they do not know what is the real remedy. They do not know. So on the name of remedy, we give solution, but that solution in itself brings even greater problem. That's the nature of the material world, actually. So this is what we discussed today about the 13th chapter, 5th verse. That how we become annoyed with envious people in this world. And envy can be there, which is... Actually, this world is known as Ninda Lok. People are naturally into criticizing others. So that's the way that this world works. And that's why we cannot be happy in this world. This is the world which is full of enviousness, jealousy. Because it is based on body. It is based on competitive spirit. So competitive spirit is fueled with enviousness. All right, so I'll stop here now. If anybody has any question, you may take a few questions and then we would stop.
Thank you so much for Prabhuji for the very, very beautiful class. You very nicely touched upon the topic of envy, which is really out of the spiritual world. We have to get out before we get back. Thank you so much. Very detailedly you have given.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhargava Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I would request all the devotees, ask questions now. I see Puja Mataji, you can go with your question.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, my question is, Prabhuji, we regularly we chant and we read Prabhupada books and worship Krishna, but when some difficulties come or some disturbing things happen, so the concentration for chanting or regular reading and the faith for Krishna suddenly gets down. From nowhere it gets down. Again normal, again everything will be fine. So come what may, I should keep chanting and I should keep reading. How is it possible, Prabhuji?
Yeah, actually, I know we have faith in Krishna's powers, but we do not have faith in Krishna's intelligence. We have faith in our own intelligence, but we have faith in Krishna's power. That Krishna, let's have a joint venture. That my intelligence and your power, my plans, my desires, your power. Let's make a perfect combo. But then Krishna says, you fool, even my intelligence is better than yours. I am more powerful than you and I am more intelligent than you as well. So that's why when we pray to Krishna and then things are not happening the way we expect, and then our faith gets a jolt, it becomes shaky. That why Krishna is not helping me the way I want. So we should also have faith in Krishna's intelligence. So Krishna has got his own plans and his plans are more far-sighted. His plans are far better than ours. Once we have this faith, that Krishna's plans are far better than mine, then whatever Krishna would do, we would appreciate that. Okay, if Krishna is not fulfilling my this such and such desire, that is good for me. And you would notice, you would contemplate, you can contemplate on this. If Krishna fulfills all of our desires, you would be finished. We would be finished if all the desires are fulfilled. Thank God Krishna doesn't fulfill all of our desires. What all kind of desires are there? Oh my God. So Krishna is very merciful that he is not fulfilling all of our desires. So in that case, we should have faith in Krishna's plans also. Yeah. Difficult times are there so that we can become strong. Difficult times are not there to discourage us in Krishna consciousness. Difficult times, they make us stronger. We learn so many wonderful lessons actually. Now, Srila Prabhupada had faced 43 years of failures in preaching. From 1922 till 1965, it is all failures. 43 years of failures. But all of these 43 years of failures gave Srila Prabhupada some unique, wonderful lessons to preach. And then he used those lessons in those 11 years when he was in USA. And then bombastic success. Such a success that even that now Srila Prabhupada's biography is taught in MBA institutes as an example, as a success story of a person with just 40 rupees. He went to USA with just $7 at that time. He went to USA and he has got worldwide successful organization. How come? So that's why we should see that even if Krishna is not fulfilling certain desire, he's making me strong. He's teaching me some valuable lessons. Yeah. And then our faith would remain intact.
Yes, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, one more is that, Prabhuji, how to feel Krishna's presence always, Prabhuji? We can hear about Krishna, but chanting also, but presence of Krishna always within us, within around us.
Yes. If you chant your 16 rounds really attentively means quote unquote, really attentively, you will start seeing rest of the day, everything in connection to Krishna. That's the power of chanting 16 rounds attentively.
Okay.
Otherwise, there is no mechanical way of seeing everything in connection to Krishna. There is no mechanical way. Chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds attentively will give us this vision to see Krishna at rest of the day in all the things and all the phenomena of this world. Rest of the life. Rest of the day, rest of the life as well. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the very beautiful answers. I would request Divyashree Mataji to go with her question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yes, Divyashree Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, how to control our lust, greed, or envy? Like, is it directly proportional to the food that we take in?
Yeah, of course, not just food. Food is, of course, one of the factors. If you take very sattvic food, your mind would be less agitated. And in case we take very rajasic food, then we are quite agitated. So we should try to take more sattvic food. Even in prasadam also, we should try to take more sattvic food. Of course, when we are new, then we encourage people to take, okay, even spicy food, but offer to Krishna. spicy food also. But as we become serious on the path of bhakti, gradually we are to regulate even in terms of eating prasadam. Like we may have feast, but feasting should be, we should take every item small. Yeah. So we should not take, you know, mountains of rice and mountains of puris and the ponds of dal and ponds of soup. So we have to regulate even that as well as we become serious on the path of bhakti, even in taking prasadam. So that way it really helps. It really has. One of my devotee friend, he was mentioning, he was getting agitated by lusty desires. So I requested him to reduce his grains and take more boiled vegetables and less of oily stuff. And take that with good feelings and feelings of reverence. And he mentioned that his agitation has gone down significantly. Yeah. So what kind of food are we taking? That's also very important. Of course, there are other factors as well, like association. What kind of association do we have? What kind of sanskars are we carrying from previous life? That's also one of the factors. Whether we are having blessings or curses in our lives, that's also a very important factor. And in terms of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, how much do we have spiritual knowledge to educate our minds against lust and greed? How much we are humble in our attitude towards our seniors, the teachers, the mentors? All of these factors together, they help us conquer lust and anger and rest of the other anarthas. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Divyashri. Hare Krishna. Next, I would like request Tiffany Mataji to go ahead with her question.
Okay, yes. Tiffany Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for another wonderful class. Your classes are always so inspiring. I truly, truly appreciate what you said about in the absence of Krishna, the six opulences become a source of envy. That's so important to remember. I'm so grateful for that comment. I'm so grateful for your entire class.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to ask, I actually just asked this the other day, but I want to hear it from as many devotees, as many as possible. In this, we are seeing Kali Yuga progress in front of our eyes. I mean, it's amazing how quickly things are happening, and envy is huge right now. It's shocking how much it's pervades everything. And so I'm asking you, what is the best way to prevent ourselves from, you know, becoming so envious, and also to protect ourselves from other people's envy? I'm sorry.
Very good. Hare Krishna. Very nice. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. So firstly, how not to become envious. The enemy of enviousness is appreciation. And you would see that it is so difficult for people to appreciate when they are envious, when they are angry. During the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, when two devotees, they are fighting with each other, they are having quarrel, and then they would come to Srila Bhakti Maharaj, he would say, well, you describe three good qualities in this devotee and you describe three good qualities in this devotee. And they would stumble, they would fumble, they would not be able to speak even one good quality. They would say, well, this person is good. Good in what way? Good in... So appreciation is the enemy of enviousness. But even mechanically, when we start appreciating, even if it is mechanical, gradually this becomes our second nature, appreciation. So Srila Prabhupada, he told the devotee, do whatever, learn to appreciate. Because appreciation, it kills envy. And of course, Hare Krishna Mahamantra kills it at the root. But starting to appreciate. And as appreciation becomes our nature, our second nature, and then we see that this enviousness doesn't strike as effectively as it naturally affects now. So appreciation. Second is that how not to get affected by those who are envious of us. So for that, Srila Prabhupada used to give example of snake. With snake, we neither do friendship. With snake, we never do enmity. Neither of them is good with the snake. So towards the envious person, we are neutral. We don't have friendship. Sometimes we see that those who are envious of us, we tend to show more friendly gestures so that they can be pacified and we become more friendly. That feeds their poison, just like feeding milk to the snake. They say, well, this flattery, this show off. Even though we are trying to be more friendly, they see it as a show off, as something so artificial, so superficial. So that feeds their poison of enviousness. In case you become, we see them as our enemy, then they say, oh, acha, my enemy, I'll teach you a good lesson. So with a snake, neither friendship nor animosity, neutral. So somebody is envious of us, we are neutral. Because in case, because in either of the condition, our heart becomes affected. And in case my heart becomes affected, my chanting gets affected. I'm chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It keeps striking again and again. Hare Krishna, Ram, Ram, Ram. Why this person is so... It affects my chanting. So by being neutral, I protect my consciousness from this person. You know, I am to protect my chanting. Yes, that's very, very important. So to be neutral. Neither I'm your friend, nor your enemy, but I pray for you. May Krishna pacify your mind. May Krishna pacify your enviousness. I pray to Lord Shri Krishna. That's it. That's the way to deal with envious people, to be neutral.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. That was a wonderful answer, so practical, and I will definitely use that, take that to heart. Thank you
so much. No, you don't need this. You are free from envy. You are very simple.
I don't know if any of us are right now. It's so, so hard. Thank you again, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was really, really a wonderful answer. Really, the point that you related to chanting, it is inspiring so much to follow that. Yeah, we have to take care of the chanting. For that reason, we don't have to pamper them. We don't have to react also. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, neutral.
Yeah, I would request next to Meena Mataji. Meena Mataji to ask a question. There are quite few questions, Prabhuji. You have time?
Yeah. We'll go till 6.
Okay. Meenu Mataji, you can go ahead.
Mataji, okay. I don't see her hand raised, Mataji.
Okay, she is not there right now. Okay, we can ask Manisha Mataji. You can go ahead.
She's there.
Manisha. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, Prabhuji, who is Lord Shiva?
Who is Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is Gunavatar of Lord Shri Krishna.
Like Prabhuji, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So who is Shiva? Some say he's a Vaishnava.
Yeah, he's a Vaishnava and he's also incarnation of God. He's Gunavatar. He takes care of Tamogun. He's not in Tamogun. He's HOD of Tamogun.
So Prabhuji is a God?
Yeah, of course he's God as well, but not Supreme God.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you.
Thank you, Manisha. First, Raj Prabhu, Hare Krishna, you can go ahead with your questions. Raj Prabhu, you are there? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Raj Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanva Pranam, Prabhu. What a beautiful class again. Thank you, Prabhu. Your class is always amazing, but it really struck my mind when you talk about psychiatrist. And I just went to see what psychiatrists do. I never went to. Thank God. Now I am in Srila Prabhupada Hospital, so I don't have to go anymore. But it says it focused on treatment and prevention of mental disorders. But science does not even know about mind. They don't even care about mind. So what a beautiful thing, you know. They are just exploiting people. Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita says, "Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kamo mano buddhi revacha." So it's his energy. What a beautiful point, Prabhu, you said. It struck my mind. Please actually make a class on mind and psychiatrist. What a beautiful point. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I didn't make the point, but anyways, you found out the point. That's your greatness.
Oh, you are great, Prabhu. I'm nothing. Just your follower. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Any other question? Yes.
Yes. Dr. Lavina Patel, you can go ahead with your question. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Pranam to you, Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I'm a great, great, great follower of you. I never miss any of the YouTube lectures and I really try my best to amend and follow those principles and your guidelines which you instruct and advise to all the devotees all the time. Prabhuji, I have one question, how to remain unaffected? in the heated conversation or that critical situation, how to be steady. We know all that, that we have to be neutral, otherwise we'll bind the karmas, action reaction cycle, and so on. So Prabhuji, it's very difficult to hold on or remain unaffected at that moment.
Yeah,
how to be that. And one more question is, how to stop expectations? As in your latest lectures, you said that it should be realistic, and expectation is equal to the frustration. You have to be ready for the frustration.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
Prabhuji, sometimes automatically, as in we are humans, so expectations sometimes automatically comes out. So how to stop that, or how to dovetail or divert that?
So Srila Prabhupada used to say, first you have to become conscious. Then you can become Krishna conscious. First, we have to become conscious. Conscious of what? Conscious of what? Conscious of not getting our consciousness into the phenomena of this world, the material world, the ephemeral world. Yeah. So that's very, very important. We should be conscious that we should not get our mind or our consciousness engaged in the material activities. That's very important. Like, see why we do get affected. Adil is saying that if you are getting affected by the material world too often, that means you are spending more time with the material world and less time with God. Yeah. But when we are spending good time with God and less time with the material world, so then we do not get affected. We get affected because we are spending too much time with the material world, actually. And that's why we have the expectations as well. So not to have expectation, we should be conscious about it. We should be conscious about it. So as I told you, when we are conscious, then one day we can become Krishna conscious. So we have to be conscious about this. So why we get agitated?
Within the family itself, that we have to be in the family, right? It's not about the dealing with material people or office or work people. But that doesn't affect more. But being with the family members, sometimes they are toxic or unmanageable.
You know, there are two things. One is proximity, one is association. There are two things. Mm-hmm. One is being in proximity and being in association. So we can be in proximity of the people in the, of the material world, but we should not be in association. That's very important. Like if you go and purchase vegetables from the sabjiwala, the vendor which comes in the street. So we are in the proximity of this person. We have some business exchange, but we do not associate with the guy. Right. Yeah. Similarly, in this material world, we are to deal with people and we are to be in their proximity. Like, so for example, somebody goes to office. Hey, come prepare that file. Give me that report. Please do such and such thing and such and such thing. Let's have a meeting. So we are in proximity of people. So what is the difference between proximity and association? Proximity is that, when physically, when we are close to each other, that's proximity, socially speaking. Yeah. But in association, we expose our heart, our emotions, our feelings to get affected by somebody's companionship. That is known as association. So we should not associate with the people of the material world, but we can be in their proximity, whether they're relatives or office people, we can be in their proximity. When I was working, so I was in their proximity. Like, I never like to go to marriages, but my parents would say, come on, be a social person. You do not mix with anyone. Come to the marriage. So because they are pressurizing me, I would go to marriages and would sit in one corner, not interacting with anyone. Sometimes I would carry some small book of Srila Prabhupada, something like that. And then my mother would bring some of the other relatives. He's your uncle. He's a maternal uncle. And he is the daughter of such and such person. He's the father of such and such person. I would say, yes, yes, okay. Yeah, good evening. Yeah, nice meeting you. Yeah. But I'm not associating. I'm in their proximity. Yeah. So in this world, we are to learn this art of being in proximity, but not in association. Yeah. And then we would not be affected by these people.
But Prabhuji, what is that technique to apply or to conscious. Follow in that
just being heated conscious.
Conversation?
Do not get into heated conversation. As soon as it starts, you'll see that as soon as the heated conversation starts, agitation happens here. You can feel it.
Yeah, and you speak something and then you
say it. Yes, yes. As soon as that agitation is happening, be conscious that I'm not going to aggravate it. Agitation is already there. Do not aggravate it. Yeah. In that case, take a back step there and then. Do not get involved in heated conversations.
Okay, and Prabhuji, one more question. That as you said that in ISKCON devotees like to maintain their individuality. They do not ever want or have a desire to merge with the Supreme God, Supreme Personality of God, Lord Shri Krishna.
Yes. Yeah.
So Prabhuji, if they want to maintain their individuality, they have to get this desire to serve God. So they will need the this continuation of serving God or making the God making some service to the God to make the God happy.
Whether to serve God or you do not serve God, but individuality of the soul cannot be destroyed. Whether you accept God, whether you do not accept God, but the soul remains a vayam. That is insoluble.
But Prabhuji, how soul would need some matter to serve God and to make Lord happy?
Doesn't need, for his no, soul. Doesn't need matter to serve God. It needs spirit to serve God. Matter is just only an instrument. Spirit. Yeah, matter doesn't matter. What matters is spirit.
Okay, so in the spiritual world, only spirit, the pure soul spirits can serve God and do seva for Lord's happiness and pleasure.
That's true.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna,
thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah. Next, I would request Kartik Pradhan Prabhuji to go at the question. Kartik Prabhu?
Kartik Prabhu, I do not have the mystic powers to hear you even when you are in mute. You have to unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you for such a
wonderful.
Prabhuji, today in the class you spoke about about envy and how should we avoid envy from the devotees. So after hearing the class, it basically happens that in a devotee community, we feel that yes, when we come in association with the devotees, we should not be envy with others. But it's a very tendency. It's a daily tendency that after 2 to 3 times, again we feel the same feeling of envious again.
Yeah.
So what practices can be done, Prabhu, so that the envious should not be felt again in a long term and all? So it should be removed.
Actually, enviousness is very deeply rooted, and that's why there cannot be just some trick of the wizard and immediately you are free from envy. We have to constantly work on it because we have remained slave of envy, not just for one or two lives or even hundreds of thousands of lifetimes. No, it's since time immemorial. So it's a big battle. So that's why we have to fight this battle. It's a meaningful battle to get rid of envy. Yeah. So keep doing two things: appreciation and attentive chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
So I think that if we are envious, then it may also lead to Vaishnava Aparadh, which is also one of
the... Of course. Yes, that's true. Vaishnava Aparadh destroys bhakti. Even sannyasis are not spared. What to speak of you and me? We are small times. Yeah, big shots are not even spared by Vaishnava Aparadh. Very destructive. But the root is mostly envy. Many times. Yeah. Okay, next question.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Kartik Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Would request Sukha Mataji to ask her questions. We have 2 more minutes. Sukha Mataji, you are there? Okay.
Megha Mataji.
Yeah, Megha Patel.
Oh, sorry, I was not able to unmute. Sorry about that, Mataji. This is Saksagari. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thanks for the beautiful class and the QA session, Prabhu. My question is just one simple one, Prabhu. When you said that you need to remain neutral, when you face an envious person, so can you please elaborate? Are you saying that we just maintain a high bio relationship or... what you mean by neutral?
Neutral means you do some basic formal social exchanges, like for example, good morning, good evening, how are you? Is everything okay? Your health is fine. That's it. This is being neutral. You're being cheerful, being neutral. That means you are not exposing your emotions to such a person. You remain neutral. Socially, which is the bare minimum required, you do that to the person who is very envious of you. And pray for that person. Because Krishna can pacify enviousness. We cannot do that. Yeah. So that's what we need to do. Being neutral means socially we are pleasing, but we are not intermingling with the person.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So, should we end here, Prabhuji? It's 6 o'clock.
No, we'll take Megha Machi's question.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhu. Bye. So, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much. I just love all your lectures. And this one is also very inspiring. My quick question to you, I know you have to go, but you know, what if there is, you know, when you say neutrality, when there's envy, can there be enviousness within the family, meaning like within the not just, you know, outside of, you know, not relatives, but like within the family, within the home?
Yeah, of course.
In that case,
of course.
How to deal with that then? Because we have to associate with them then and have exchanges.
Yeah. So in such a case also, like in family also, there can be enviousness. I know some of the husbands are envious of their wives because wife is very talented. Wife is very social. Wife is very connecting. And he's so dull and dry. And that's why he feels enviousness towards his wife. Some of the wives, they are envious of their husbands because husband is very good looking. And that's why many ladies, they come and approach and smile and there are some pleasant gestures with the husband. And she feels envious. How come? So there can be enviousness within the family as well. That's absolutely possible. But in such a case also, in case there is enviousness, so we remain neutral and yet at the same time we do our duties. Like for example, a wife sees that husband is envious of the wife. So wife would render these services, being wife, say for example, say cooking, washing clothes and all that, being wife, she would do all the duties. Yet at the same time, she would protect her consciousness not to get affected from him. Although in such a close relationship, this is quite difficult. But yes, but there is no other way than to be neutral. In the sense, we neither get so close to the person in appreciation nor form any enmity with the person. Both ways So I know it is very difficult, especially when it comes to husband and wife, because they are naturally very close, physically, emotionally. Yeah. So, but that's the way. We have to stay neutral. We remain socially pleasing. Socially pleasant, but yet at the same time not very much involved.
Okay, that helps me. Thank you so much, Prabhu. And also, can the appreciation be in the form of being grateful, or do we have to verbally express it?
Oh yes, we should do that. In fact, gratitude should be expressed in words. It should not just be in the mind.
Okay.
Gratitude must be expressed. Love not expressed is not love. Love not expressed is not love. So you must express our love. Like gratitude is such a beautiful feeling. So you must have gratitude towards all those who have positively contributed in our lives. Even in material life, they have contributed. We should be grateful. I remember a few years back, I went to my school and I touched the feet of my teachers, those who taught me physics, those who taught me mathematics. I touched their feet and they blessed me. I was in saffron. I was wearing my dhoti kurta, and even though they are not devotees, but showing gratitude to even person who is not a devotee, like my teachers, my math teacher, my physics teacher, my chemistry teacher, I felt so good. So this expression of gratitude is such a beautiful expression. So you must express it physically. It makes our heart more beautiful.
Okay, that helped me. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Okay, we can take last question from Bijeti Rani Mishra Mataji. Last question, and then
sure.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Yes, my question is how to find a true Vaishnava or true devotee?
Well, anyone who is nicely practicing the path of bhakti, who is loyal to his guru, and who is very sincere in his devotional endeavors, and he respects his seniors, has friendship with his equals, and shows compassion to his juniors, he's a sincere devotee. You can associate with such a devotee. Yeah?
But it is is it necessary, he or she, for...
He your face. Yeah, you are audible, but your voice is breaking. That's okay. Yeah, you said something. Come again, please.
Yeah, if he or she is another Shampradaya, just like Baka or Charles.
I'm sorry. If he's from other Sampradaya, you are saying.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. We should associate within our Sampradaya. Because Sri Rupa Goswami says we should associate with Sajatiya Vaishnava. Sajati means who are in my caste. So even there are Sri Vaishnavas, we respect them. We pay obeisance to them. Somebody is a Nimbarki, we pay obeisance to them. But we associate with Sajatiya. That means Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaudiya Vaishnavas for us also is con devotee Gaudiya Vaishnavas. There are Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Radhakund, there are Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Gaudiya Math, and we have all reverence for them. But Sajatiya means we should associate with those who are ISKCON Gaudiya Vaishnava devotees. Anyone who helps me serve my guru in a better way, we should associate with those devotees. Sajatiya.
Yeah, so otherwise, we can respect them.
Yeah, we can respect others. We can respect Mayavadis, but to speak of other Vaishnavas from other Sampradayas. Even if there is a Mayavadi sannyasi, we would pay obeisances.
Okay, but
we associate with only Sajatiya. That means who are from my own jat, who are from my own family, ISKCON family, Gaudiya Vaishnavas and ISKCON family. Although we have all respect for other Vaishnavas as well. We serve them also in case required.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, namaste.
Thank you.
Okay, yes. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I just wanted to say thank you. Your classes are so helpful and your answers are so good. Prabhuji is always, and you are always encouraging us. And thank you so much for your valuable time and association, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mantri. Thank you for your words of appreciation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shama. All right.
So shall we stop here now? Yeah.
Sure, Prabhuji.
Or maybe we can take 5 more minutes in case. Yeah. If somebody is very desperate.
Yes. Shri Krishna Prabhu is pinging too many times. Please take my question. You can ask.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
Jai Shri Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, main aapka bada fan hu.
English.
Prabhuji, mera ye question hai ki.
No, you have to speak in English.
Prabhuji, what is mean by love? Means love have many meanings, but actual meaning of love.
Yeah. Actual meaning of love is that the tenderness of the heart which you feel towards Krishna, which is very maddening in nature, which is absolutely selfless and absolutely self-forgetful, that is love.
And Prabhuji, okay or not?
I'm sorry? Sorry.
Means bodily attraction is love or not? Because
bodily attraction is lust. Bodily attraction is lust. I scratch your body, your body, you scratch my body. I squeeze your body, you squeeze my body. That's lust.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Seema Sinha. You can ask a question. Seema Sinha. You're there? Okay. The next person is Yan.
Yan, okay.
Yes. Please ask a question. You again muted yourself, Yan. Yes, you are unmuted now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
I have a question. I don't understand impersonalist Brahman and Supreme Brahman. What is the meaning of that?
Okay, impersonalist, those who consider God as light, because they take God very lightly. So they consider him only light. So they are known as impersonalist. Among the impersonalists, there are two classes. There are Brahmavadis. That means they have more inclination towards the formless light, but they have no knowledge about the transcendental nature of the form of God. There are also class of impersonalists who are envious of the form of God. They are known as Mayavadis. Yeah. And above them are the devotees who have understanding of the transcendental nature, of the transcendental form of the Lord. That God is having a transcendental form, suprahuman form, supra-worldly form, transcognitive form. Yeah. So they are known as the devotees.
Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I'm Seema Sinha here from Doha, Qatar. Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, and not accept my humble obeisances. Prabhuji, you and Amrin Prabhu are the light rays for us, Prabhuji, so for the fallen soul like us to come into Krishna consciousness, Prabhuji. So, my question is a little different, Prabhuji. In a few days back, I heard your lecture on the books are the basis, Prabhuji, in that you said that you should isolate yourself and just study, but being a housewife, it's a little difficult for us, Prabhu, to do that. Yeah. But my basic question is that, Prabhu, most of the Vaishnavas, they say in the beginning when you're reading the Bhagavatam, you should give more stress to the translation, not reading the shlokas or the purport. But for me, Prabhuji, when I'm reading just the translation, it's very hard to get the clear vision of the Bhagavatam, Prabhuji. So I try to read the purport also, but I go very slow then, Prabhuji. So for the first time, who's just trying to read or trying to understand Bhagavatam, Prabhu, not read also. So what should you advise the beginners to do that, Prabhu? Should we go for the translation or try to read the shlokas or how is it? Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you, Pranam.
Hare Krishna. You. So, Madhi, actually, no, there is no hard and fast rule that you have to only go through translation, not the shloka, or first only the purports, or just a translation. There's no hard and fast rule. Anything which brings connect. Because most important is connect. Anything which brings connect, you please do that. And what brings connect in each and every individual is also unique. So that's why you do not go by what others are saying. You see what brings more connect in you. In case shloka recitation brings connect in you, why not? Please go ahead. Why not? So that's why you can go through even verses. You can go through translation and purport. Sometimes I see in devotees what they do. They go through all translations so that they get the context. What is this all about? And then they start reading it again. That's also one of the ways. So anything which brings connect in you towards Srimad Bhagavatam, understanding something in a better way, please go ahead, do that. Anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya varjana. Anything which is favorable for bhakti, accept it. Yeah. All right, devotees, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah. Bhakti Sangha ki jai.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very beautiful class. All the questions have been taken. Thank you for giving your extra time. And there is a comment just asking for your email ID for further questions. If you would like, you can.
Yeah, sure. It is ald.gkg@gmail.com. Thank you. Said it. If I'm not able to reply on time, please do not be disappointed. Yes. Disclaimer.
Very good. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
All right. Thank you all, everyone. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai. All goes to all the wonderful devotees out here in Zoom class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Namo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Prabhuji ki jai.
Thank you so much,
Krishna.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Hare Krishna.